All right, welcome. My name is Divine. This is Dime Lecture number 6. And today's lecture is going to be titled Serum Levels, right? And again, I will encourage you, go back, do the worksheet first before you start trying to answer, and then listen to this to get the answer. I'm going to discuss a lot more than the answer here, but this is going to be a very high-yield lecture. It's going to help you a lot on your exams. All right, so a 43-year-old man comes to the physician with a 5-month history of fatigue and muscle weakness. He has also been using the bathroom more frequently and endorses an increased sensation of thirst. Medical history is unremarkable, and the patient does not smoke cigarettes, use illicit drugs, or consume alcohol. Physical examination discloses moderate muscle weakness in the bilateral upper and lower extremities, but there are no sensory deficits. His biceps, triceps, brachioradialis, and patella tendon reflexes are all 1 plus bilaterally. Vital signs are a blood pressure of 175 over 100. His pulse is 79 per minute, and respirations are 23 per minute. And serum potassium levels are 2.5 milliequivalents per liter with a metabolic alkalosis. Which of the following will be decreased in this patient, right? So, first thing before we jump into this, these answer choices, right, is to try to figure out, like, what do you think may be going on here, right? What do you think may be going on here? So I know for some people, they're probably thinking, hey, that this person probably has Kahn syndrome, probably has a primary hyperaldosteronism. And that'll be a useful thought. Other things you should also probably think about, you should probably think of like renal artery stenosis, right? You should also probably think of like fibromuscular dysplasia. You know, those are things that can cause very similar presentations. Although, there's a series of considerations, I think, that you should have here, right? So what are some of these considerations? Number one is, you know, this guy's 43, right? It's probably unlikely that he has renal artery stenosis, right? Renal artery stenosis is usually something we find in much older individuals. And then fibromuscular dysplasia is something that we typically find in people that tend to be females, right? Young, you know, females and things like that, right? And you don't see any mention of like a flank brewery or anything along those lines, right? But those can certainly cause some of these labs and presentations. Now, one thing I want to say here is, so why do I think this is primary hyperaldosteronism? Why do I think this is Kahn syndrome? There's a few things here, right? So first things first, we know that in primary hyperaldosteronism, you make tons and tons and tons of aldosterone, right? And we know the jobs of aldosterone. Aldosterone makes you reabsorb sodium, right, in the kidneys. It makes you excrete potassium, right? And it makes you excrete protons. So if you're reabsorbing more sodium, you reabsorb more water, that's going to raise your blood pressure, right? We see this guy's blood pressure is 175 over 100, right? And then if you excrete, because you're raising preload and all those things, right? So if you excrete potassium, you'll develop a hypokalemia, right? And many people don't realize this, but one sneaky thing our friends at the MBMEs love to do is that they like to test hypokalemia in the context of muscle weakness or a decrease in your deep tendon reflexes, right? Hypokalemia can certainly mess up your deep tendon reflexes, right? So that's something I certainly know for exams. And also, these people will also have a metabolic alkalosis, right? Because again, they're getting rid of so many protons, right? They're excreting so many protons, right? So if you're losing acid, you're going to become more basic, right? You're going to become more basic. So that's something you want to keep at the back of your mind for your exams. That's something you certainly want to keep at the back of your mind for your exams. Now, one other thing I would say here is, you may see something here that may have made you think a little bit of, wait, does this guy have like diabetes insipidus? You know, he's like, this guy's like polyuric. I mean, like he's having a lot of polyuria and a little polydipsia. One thing I think I want to say here that you want to be careful about, right? Increased sensation of thirst. Don't mistake that to think that this may be diabetes insipidus, right? Or he's like hypernatremic for any reason. He's really not, right? But one thing I want to say is this: when people have Kahn syndrome, right, they feel salty because they're literally reabsorbing tons and tons and tons of sodium, right? Whenever you're bringing in so much salt, right, because of that aldosterogenic effect, your body tries to water that salt down by making you drink more water. So these people may actually have like that increased sensation of thirst. It's something I've noticed many resources don't discuss, but it's actually pretty high yield to know for your exams. All right, So we know that this person has Kahn syndrome, right? So the question then says, which of the following will be decreased in this patient, right? And before we go to that, again, if you're a person, if you love the way I teach, you love the way I make integrations, you're going to love my classes. I have a lot of very good step one to step three classes taking place in the month of September. And I also have, also offer one-on-one tutoring. I help with ERAS applications. I'm actually kind of knee deep in that now, between people's personal statements and recommendation letters and mock interviews and things like that. So if you're interested in any of those things, just, you know, click on the link below, and I can give you some more information on that. All right. So which of the following will be decreased in this patient, right? So option A says aldosterone. Well, that will clearly be wrong, right? Because this person likely has Kahn syndrome for the many reasons I've explained. So because this person likely has a Kahn syndrome, the aldosterone levels are going to be very elevated. So that's wrong, right? And then option B says urinary potassium excretion. Urinary potassium excretion. So think about it. What did I say aldosterone does? Aldosterone, I literally said, makes you excrete more potassium, right? So are you going to have more or less potassium in your urine? You're going to have more potassium in your urine, right? So your urinary potassium excretion should go up. All right, now let's look at option C. Option C says cardiac preload. Let's see what that entails. Well, preload is a measure of like how much blood you're returning to the heart. Well, let's look at this. This person has Kahn syndrome. They're literally making tons and tons and tons of aldosterone, reabsorbing tons and tons and tons of sodium and water. When you do that, right, your blood volume is going to increase. If your blood volume increases, you're going to be sending more blood back to the heart. So these people's preload will actually rise. So that is actually wrong. And then let's do option D. Yeah, this question looks easy, but it's sneakily difficult. These are actually how many USMLE questions look like. I really wanted to put out this question because it's a very good USMLE style question. Let's look at pH. Well, again, remember, you have primary hyperaldosteronism. You're making tons and tons and tons of aldosterone. So you're excreting a lot of protons. If you're excreting a lot of protons, are you going to become alkalotic or acidotic? You're going to become alkalotic because you're losing so much acid. You're going to develop a metabolic alkalosis. And when you're alkalotic, what will your pH look like? Your pH is going to be elevated. It's going to be what? Elevated. All right. Now, let's look at option E. Option E says antidiuretic hormone, EDH. Well, think about it. These people, they're reabsorbing so much sodium, so much water from their urine, right, back into the body. So again, as I've said, their preload is rising, their blood volume is rising. Would you want to raise the levels of a hormone that will make you retain even more volume? Probably not. So these people's ADH levels should actually be low. Their ADH levels should actually be low, right? And option F talks about baroreceptor stimulation. Well, look at this person's blood pressure, 175 over 100, right? So the right answer should be E here, but let's look at option F, right? Baroreceptor stimulation. I would really hope you're saying that it's going to be increased, right? Because look at this person's blood pressure. The pressures are so high, right? So the baroreceptors, on their blood vessels, they're being heavily stimulated. So these people may actually get like a parasympathetic discharge to the heart to try to reduce cardiac output, to try to bring down their blood pressures as a measure of some sort, right? Now, just a few other things to keep in mind here, right? What would your reading look like here? I'd hope you're saying that, oh, divine, the reading will be decreased. That'll be another thing that'll be decreased in this person, right? Because again, they're literally, again, making tons of aldosterone, right? So tons of aldosterone, right? So their blood volume, blood pressure is rising, right? So the juxtaglomerular cells, they're being hyperperfused. That's going to cause them to make less renin, right? So these people's renin should go down, and not just the renin going down, the angiotensin 1 should go down. Not just angiotensin 1 going down, the angiotensin 2 should go down, right? That's pretty high yield to know for your exams. So I think this question, I would encourage you to think like, hey, how could they make different kinds of questions from the same thing? How could they manipulate things to be a little bit different compared to what I've just discussed here, right? And then before we wrap this up, I just want to discuss something about unusual career options for physicians, right? So this is something that many people ask questions about like every day, like, hey, I did not match, or I am burnt out in my current career in medicine, or I only matched into like a preliminary year, like a transitional year, or a prelim medicine year, a prelim surgery year, but I literally have no options after that. or I left my residency program for one reason or the other, or, you know, what are some side gigs I can do to make some extra income as a physician? I feel like many times when you research these things online, you know, they give you a lot of different answers, like do private equity, do consulting, do this, do that. But the thing is, there's actually a lot of stuff you can do with a medical degree. And I decided to write a book. It's a short book that catalogs many of these things, right? Like many things that actually many resources don't talk about, or many people have not even heard about, but they're actually very viable things that you can start within like a few days, a few weeks, or a few months. So if you want to consult that, I will encourage you, click on the link at the bottom. It's a book on Amazon. I have it available for sale on Amazon. It's literally titled Unusual Career Options for Physicians. It's a very, very practical book. Literally lays things out step by step for you. And I think you're going to find the book to be really helpful. I think you're going to find it to be very educational. So check it out. Give me any feedback. And I will see you, God willing, in Dime Lecture number 7. And also check out divineinterventionlifelessons.com. It's a website where I post like a Bible study once a week that many people also find to be helpful. All right. So thank you for joining me today. I will see you, God willing, in the next episode. God bless you and bye for now. Thank you.